This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You and I have been given the authority to enforce spiritual law. So now, when you talk about the believer's authority, when you talk about spiritual authority, then you must talk about spiritual law. So the boundary of my authority as a believer is within spiritual law. I can enforce spiritual law. Now, if I know the spiritual laws that govern healing and deliverance and freedom and safety and prosperity and all those other things, when I know those spiritual laws, I have the authorization to enforce those laws, even when the devil and circumstances are trying to stop it.
Grace Life 2020, featuring Creflo Dollar, Taffy Dollar, Michael Smith, Gregory Dickow, and Andrew Womack.
Come see what God's got to tell you.
It's eye open, it's heart open, it's just life-changing experience.
Don't miss it. We've been to every one of them. Don't miss it.
Join us as we bring you Grace Life 2020. To register now, text Grace Life to 51555 or visit us at creflodollarministries.org.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. It's time we live a new life. Let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. And, you know, I trust that you will pray for Taffy and I and pray for me right now that I can minister with such clarity this word so that we can see a mark made in your life that cannot be erased. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. Very familiar scripture, but there's a lot of good revelation that came out of this. And I think it will really, really bless your life today. Matthew 14, 22, verses, I'm going to read 22 through 31. He says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." So he sent his disciples ahead of him while he went and prayed. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea while he was there alone, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So it sounds to me like they came into some rough weather. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," or today we would say, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear because they saw Jesus walking on the water, but they didn't know it was Jesus, and they thought, "It's a ghost." But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Now, 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou," now listen to this, "if it be thou, bid me or permit me to come unto thee on the water." I like to put another word in here, "authorize me to come and walk on the water." Next verse. "And he said, come." So he gave him the authorization. Come. Come. Now, here's Jesus walking on the water, and Peter said, "Can I have the authorization?" He said, "Yeah, come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He walked on the water He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Next verse. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, underline that, little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Now remember, we define doubt as a moment of fear. O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Now, we've gone over this scripture before. You've read it before. A lot of good things have come out of it. But here's what I saw, and I want you to see this now. Jesus was walking on top of the very situation that was trying to kill these disciples. Jesus was walking on top of the very situation that was trying to kill these disciples. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand something. I don't know the situations that you have going on in your life right now, but we can very clearly see that these disciples had a situation going on in this boat, and Jesus was walking on top of that situation. Now, Jesus didn't pick Peter up and, you know, when he was on the boat asking could he walk, he didn't pick Peter up and place him on the water and then made him walk. Jesus said, come. And Peter took the authorization. Peter took the authority. And Peter took the steps. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Peter did something that I want to make sure I communicate to you this morning. When the authority was given by Jesus, come, Peter took the authority and he stepped out on the water. And Peter now began to walk on the very situation that was trying to destroy him. First, Jesus was walking on the situation that tried to destroy the disciples. And now Peter took the authorization from Jesus and he began to walk on top of the situation that was trying to destroy him. Here's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Jesus has given each of us the authorization to walk on top of the situation that's trying to destroy you. The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is that Peter took the authorization and he acted out on that authorization. He was authorized to walk on water, and he took a step and started walking on water. You and I have been authorized to walk on top of sickness, disease, to walk on top of debt, to walk on top of all kinds of situations in life. We've been authorized. The authorization has been given to us by God Almighty. And if you will take the authorization and take a step and walk on top of that situation and that circumstance, praise God, then you can do like Peter did. The thing that was trying to destroy you, you'll start walking on top of it, praise God. Why? Because the authorization has been given to you to do that. You don't have to sit back and be beat up and whipped by the circumstances and situations of this life when Jesus has given you the right to command, the authority, and the authorization to walk on top of your circumstances and on top of your situations. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 10, if you'll go back there. Let me remind you what he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, because this is not just about, Jesus giving the authorization. It's more about, will you use it? It's more about, will you step out and use and activate what you've been authorized to activate? He says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, ability, authorization against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. He gave the disciples that day the authorization to walk on top of sickness and disease. And then in verse 8, here's another area of authorization. Healed the sick. Jesus gave the authority to heal the sick. cleanse the leper. Jesus gave the authorization to cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. He gave the authorization to raise the dead. Cast out devils. He gave the authorization to cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And so, without a shadow of doubt, we have been authorized by God Almighty to carry out His word. So it wasn't God's will for Peter to sink, but he got his eyes off of Jesus. It's not God's will for somebody to be defeated by the circumstances and situations that you're going through. That's not God's will. What happened? Peter got his eyes off Jesus. He stopped focusing on what he had the power and the authorization to do. And I'm telling you right now, don't you stop focusing on the authorization that you have been given by God Almighty to walk on top of your circumstances and situations. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a word from God for you to get focused on your authorization. What happened? Why did he sink? That wasn't God's will. He authorized him to walk on water. He said, come. Why did he sink? Because he was distracted by the circumstance, distracted by the situation, distracted by how many people got the virus or how many people have died already, and distracted by all those things. And I am saying, get focused. Get focused on the things of God. Get focused on the Word of God. What happened was he lost his focus and he began to sink because he started paying attention and giving focus to the thing that was trying to kill him, to the wave and to the wind. What's distracting you? What are you giving your focus to? What are you looking at and forgetting that you have the authorization to walk on top of that thing that's trying to kill you, steal, destroy? What is it that you're focusing on? I'm saying get your focus back on God. Get your focus back on not only God, but what He has authorized you to be able to do. So look what happened, man. He focused on the problem instead of focusing on the authority, focusing on the authorization. Are you focused on the problem? Are you spending more time focused on, oh, my God, how am I going to pay my rent, all my money spent, a little bit to buy some food, baby need a pair of shoes, look, you got a light bill due? What are you focused on? Are you focused on, oh, dear God, there's lots of people losing their job. Oh, God, I'm going to probably lose mine, too. What are you focused on? Oh, my God, oh, my neighbor down the street, he got the virus. Oh, it's going to come to my house, too. What are you focused on? Because when you focus on that, Jesus described it like this. Why is it that your faith was little? He wasn't talking about the measure of faith. He was talking about how long it lasts. He was talking about the endurance of it. How come your faith didn't endure but for a little while? In other words, when he was focused on Jesus and he began to walk on the water and he began to walk in the authority that had been given to him, his faith was strong. But then as soon as he got his focus off of Jesus, got his focus off of the authorization, he began to sink. He was no longer focused. I've been authorized to do this. He began to sink. And his faith was just for a short time. You remember I said to you before, have you ever had a short burst of energy? That's what he was saying. Why is your faith little? Why was it a short burst? How come it didn't last long? And the reason why is because when you are surrounded by all of the distractions and all of the things that are trying to kill you and wipe you out, and you're not focused in on, wait a minute, I've been given authority over this, I've been given power over this, then your faith will be small, and it'll last just for a little while. And I'm here this morning to jack your faith up, to let you know in the name of Jesus, you have the authority over sickness, over disease, over viruses, over pestilence. You have authority. Don't have your faith to be little. Every time you feel yourself or sense yourself kind of losing focus, you get in that word and jack that faith back up and remind yourself that you've been authorized by God. You are an authorized dealer of God's power. Praise God. You're an authorized dealer of God's power. Amen. Now, here's a thought. Some people say that if God is really in something, if He's really involved in something, then it'll work perfectly. Well, He was involved with Peter walking on the water, absolutely, but Peter began to sink. Now, listen to me carefully. God's power comes to pass through us. Hallelujah. It's God's power, but it comes to pass through us. He doesn't use us independently of ourselves. God uses, I know this surprised some people, God uses flesh. Peter began to think, then the power began to subside. Why? Because Peter changed, not the power. Peter changed, not the power. The power was still available. The power was still at hand. The power was still able to get the job done. Peter changed, not the power. Peter started thinking about the circumstances and the possibility of what the circumstance might be able to do. Peter changed, not the power. I'm asking you right now, what's changed? It's not the power. It's not God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And this authority and this power that He's given us to have victory, it didn't change. Make sure you're not the one changing. The power is still available to get the job done. So, I said all that to say this, that the number one reason people don't receive is because they don't operate in their authority. The number one reason that people don't receive what God has promised is because they do not operate in their authority. Now, this is powerful because it's like, I don't want to get to heaven, ask God about something, and He says, son, I authorized you to do it, but you didn't. How many things in our lives have never shown up or never taken place because we did not operate in the authority that was given to us? See, it's not enough for you to believe that Jesus can do it. It's not enough for you to believe that Jesus can heal. It's not enough for you to believe that Jesus can deliver. It's not enough for you to believe that Jesus can do all these things. But you must believe that you can do it too. What? Yes. You must believe that you can do it too. Take your Jesus-given authority and do it. You see, I wouldn't say that had He not given us the authority to do it, the right to command. But because He's given us the authority to do it and authorized us on the planet to do it, it's not enough for you to just believe that Jesus can do it. Now, with the authority that came from Him, you now must believe that you can do it. You must believe that you can cast out devils, that you can heal the sick, that you can speak to mountains and tell those mountains to be gone. You have got to believe that. You've been authorized by Jesus. Pick up your Jesus-given authority. Pick up your Jesus-given authority and command what the Word has declared over your life and over your authority. Now look at this, Luke chapter 10. Verse 19, and forgive me, I'm excited. I am excited because I know my authority. I know my authorization. Praise God, I got up this morning, I said, Corona, in the name of Jesus, I told you to cease. Now, in the name of Jesus, you stop in your progress and your maneuvers right now. I paralyze you in Jesus' name. Somebody says, well, why would you do that? Because I have authority to. And if we don't do it, it ain't gonna get done. And like I told you last week, if the devil's on your back and you don't use your authority to actively fight against him and resist him, then he's going to stay on your back. You can't go to God and say, God, get the devil off my back, when He's authorized you to get the devil off your back and keep him off your back. Amen. Look at this, Luke chapter 10, 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power or authority. You have authority. I give you power or authorization to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, this is awesome. If you identify anything being of the devil, you have been given authorization. You have authorization and authority over all of the power of the devil. Wow. Well, you know, fear doesn't come from God. It must come from the devil. You have authority over it. Well, you know, sickness and disease doesn't come from God. You know, it comes from the devil. You have authority over it. You know, all kinds of bad, crazy things that you think came from God, actually it comes from the devil. The Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if there's anything that comes or shows up from the devil, you have been authorized to use the power against all of the ability of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, my goodness. I am trying to speak this into the body of Christ. I'm trying to get them to see. Let us stand up in our authority. You are Christian believers who are clothed with an enormous amount of power and authority. We just got to get you to use it. Got to get you to start walking in it. We have power over the devil. Say that out loud. I have power over the devil. Say it again. I have power over the devil. Listen, that's strong. I mean, most of the time we've been running away from him. And I'm telling you, today, no more running. We have power over the devil. We have authority over the enemy. We have authority over anything that he does. It's kind of like the old nursery rhyme, whatever you can do, I can do better. Yeah, because I have the authority of Jesus Christ. So what good is it for you to believe that Jesus can do it if you don't believe you can do it? I mean, that can be frustrating. You believe Jesus can do it, but you don't believe in the authority that he's given you to do. I mean, that's frustrating. I mean, let me show you something real quick. There's a scripture that talks about hope deferred makes the heart sick. Let me show you this. Proverbs chapter 13 and 12. Proverbs chapter 13 and 12. I just thought about something. I saw there's a difference between spiritual people and maybe denominational people in what they believe. I want to share this. I think this will bless you. He says, hope deferred, verse 12, maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. When it doesn't come, it makes the heart sick. When it comes, it's a tree of life. See, spiritual people have a potential to be more frustrated than denominational people. Why? Because denominational people don't believe or expect healing. They don't expect deliverance. They don't expect prosperity, but spiritual people do. Spiritual people or word-based people do. We expect for deliverance to show up. We expect for healing to show up. We expect for freedom to show up. We expect for things to happen. We expect for the virus to stop. We expect for people to walk in favor when everybody else is being fired. We expect that. Amen. So it's not enough to believe God can do it, but you must believe that God has given you the spiritual authority and the power to do it as well. I hope I've nailed that point home, that you get a hold of that. Now, on the other hand, when you don't know what you have, then you won't use it. If you don't know that you have been given authority, how are you going to use something you don't even know? You're not even sure you have. That's why I'm talking this. Maybe you were not sure of the authority that the authority that Jesus has given to you. If you don't know what you have, then you won't use it. And I'm saying to you by the word of God, you have authority. So don't go around, listen. Well, oh God, give me more. He's already given you authority over it. Don't go ask him for more. You already have more than enough to get the job done. You got it. You already have it. Some of you are going to be so amazed when you get to heaven. You're going to find out a lot of prayers you pray asking God for something, it's like you already got it. It's already yours. Now look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, but you have an unction. Huh. You already have it. You have an unction or an anointing. Anointing, the ability to get the job done. You have anointing. You have ability. You have authorization from the Holy One, and you know all things. You already have it. There are things you already have. But if you don't know it, you won't use it. God's already done his part. He's given you the authorization. My power and my authority is like that of a policeman. Let's see if we can go from this perspective. A policeman has the job and the authorization to enforce the law. That's what he does. He enforces the law. Children of God who know their authority, like the policeman, will enforce spiritual law. Like the policeman enforces the law of the land, civil law. You and I have been given the authority to enforce spiritual law. So now, when you talk about the believer's authority, when you talk about spiritual authority, then you must talk about spiritual law. So the boundary of my authority as a believer is within spiritual law. I can enforce spiritual law. Now, if I know the spiritual laws that govern healing and deliverance and freedom and safety and prosperity and all those other things, when I know those spiritual laws, I have the authorization to enforce those laws, even when the devil and circumstances are trying to stop it. So what good is it to have authority with nothing to enforce? We have authority. Why would God give us authority and didn't give us anything to enforce? And I'm telling you, you have something to enforce. What is it? It's spiritual law. It's spiritual law. Now, we need to get into that now, because when you talk about spiritual law and your authority, see, I think what happens sometimes is most people think, well, I have authority. And then you just go around and you try to use your authority and beyond the boundaries of spiritual law, and then you come back to somebody, it doesn't work. Now you got to know the spiritual laws you enforce, like a policeman's got to know the civil laws and the laws of the land in order to enforce them. If he doesn't know the law, he can't enforce anything. You and I have got to know spiritual laws in order to enforce them, praise God. So some people think and believe that the things of God are just concepts and suggestions, and that God is in a box and you can't ever tell. You can't ever tell what God will do. You never know what God will do. And then they'll throw an excuse, you know, because he's sovereign, you never can tell. Well, I don't know about that. Because listen, I can tell because I know that God is committed to his word. Listen to this now. The Word of God is spiritual law. The Word of God is spiritual law. Well, let's just break this down. What is a law? A law is an established principle that will work for anybody who will get involved. Gravity is a law. It is established. You can't go outside and change it. No matter how many times you get on top of a building and step off the side, gravity is consistent. It works always the same way every single time. It is established. So likewise, God's word is established. God's word is settled. It is a principle. When God speak it, it's established. Look at Psalms 119, verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89, God's word is spiritual law. God's word is established. I have the authority to enforce God's word. Praise God. Man, I have the authority to enforce God's word. I mean, what you ought to be doing to the devil right now, say, listen, you better back off. Don't let me get in this word. Don't let me get in this word, because whatever I find in this book, I have the authority and the authorization to enforce. Now, look what he said in verse 89. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is a settled thing. God's word is established. And because it's established and because it's settled, then God's word is spiritual law. It's spiritual law. Look at Psalms 89, verse 34. Man, God is so serious about this. You find what God said, if it's in his word, you enforce it, praise God, because his word says it. He said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Now, a covenant is an irrevocable vow between two or more parties to carry out what was spoken. And God says, I'm not going to break my covenant. I'm not going to alter the things that's gone out of my lips. That would make it spiritual law, which means you can enforce it. Look at Psalms 138, verse 2. I want to read this out of the King James and then the NLT. His word is established. I'm telling you, you don't have to walk around and wonder, oh my God, what do I enforce? I mean, this is just like for the policeman, this is his law book, this is your book. I'm not talking about Abrahamic law, I'm talking about established principles. This is your book so you can enforce the law. Not talking about Abrahamic law, I'm talking about established principles. He says, I will worship towards thy holy temple, and I'll praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. He is serious about his word that he has authorized you to enforce. Now look at this in the New Living Translation. I'm telling you, this will do something to you. You'll quit sitting around waiting on God. Somebody says, well, what are you doing? I'm just waiting on God. No, they waiting on you. Heaven's waiting on you. Heaven's waiting on us. I mean, the planet's waiting on us. Praise God. He said, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. God backs every word. God backs every promise with his authority and with the honor of his name. Our job is to enforce it. Listen, it's his power, but we have a right to use it. The question this morning, are you using it? Are you using it? We're sitting around waiting on everybody, waiting on people to come up with an answer. There are certain things that happen on the planet. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They ain't got no answer. And that's why I'm telling everybody else, you better look to God now. It's time to look to Jesus right now. You ain't got no answer. The stuff you're doing ain't working. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Somebody said, boy, you excited. Yes, I am, praise God. Know who I am? I know who you are. I understand the authorization. I know that the word of God is power, and I know that this word is spiritual law, and I have been given Jesus' authority to enforce it, praise God. So now, that's what it's time to do. So some say, well, you know, you can't say God heals and delivers and prospers every time. You can't say that every time. See, there you go. You're trying to put something on God that God already put on you. Man, I know this goes against, I mean, your religion. You're probably pulling your weave out your hair right now. But you have got to stand up and recognize the dominion and the authority that God has given you. God's word is spiritual law. In fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 1 and 3, everything about this physical natural world is being held up by his word. If one bit of his word turns out not to be true, then everything crumbles because it's all being held together by the word. Look what he says. He said, and who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Now, what does it mean, the word of his power? Well, that's a very interesting phrase, the word of his power. The word of his power just simply says that God's power is his word. His word is his power. His word is his power. And he's authorized us to enforce it. His word is his power, and he's authorized us to enforce that word. Praise God. Now, God will not violate his word. He won't do it. These are laws that govern the operation of God. His word governs the operation of God. So why then did this person die? I mean, Brother Dollar, I believe in God's word. That's what I'm telling you. A lot of people believe in God's word, but they won't execute it. They won't do what they've been authorized to do. Well, how come they died? Well, now listen to me carefully. Not because healing doesn't work. Listen to that. Well, how come they died? I don't know, but it's not because healing doesn't work. Now, some reason they died, but not that reason. Not because healing doesn't work. See, we can stop God from accomplishing His will in our lives. Did you know that? You can limit God by not cooperating with how He set things up. And you know, the question you've got to ask yourself, am I limiting God? God says, I've given you authority. God says, you execute authority. God says, I give you my word. He says, you enforce my word. God says, there's spiritual law. You enforce spiritual law. And then you decide, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. Oh, but I'll pray and believe that the Lord will step down and He will do it. He will lay His hands. He will go to the hospital. I told you God ain't your errand boy. What is it that we're doing to maybe limit God? How is it that a believer who comes to church every Sunday, who prays every day, who loves God with all their heart, how could they be limiting God? Well, let's go see. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 37 through 42. We can stop God from accomplishing His will in our lives. We can be at the center of God not being able to do what He needs to do. Now listen, we're living in a stressful, fearful, crazy time right now. I ain't got time to be blowing no smoke in your ear. It's time for you to wake up and get in the Word and see what the Word says. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem. It's the time for you to decide whether or not you're going to believe what the Word says or you're going to stick with your religion. But yeah, it wasn't the devil some of those times. No, it wasn't that healing doesn't work. No, healing needed somebody to work it. Ooh, now that's, look at this, Psalm 78, verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Come on. But He, being full of compassion, He forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a times turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. So you see God showing mercy even when people weren't doing right. Look at the next verse. For He remembered that they were but flesh. I remember they're just humans. He said, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the deserts? How often did they do that? How often did they do that? Yea, they turned back. They tempted God. Think of that. They're testing God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. 42, they remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from their enemies. You know what I see here? There was a lack of cooperation. There was God kept trying to get them, go this way, do it like this, and they kept trying to do it what they wanted to do. They kept trying to be like God without God. You know that sin is still here today. People still trying to be like God without God. And you limit God. It's like, I can't go back on my word. I gave you authority. I can't take that back. Not now, at least. I can't, because during this whole grace period, you have my authority. You have the authorization. I can't take it back. So there's certain things God wants to see done in your life, and He's waiting on you who have been given the authorization to execute, to do what you've been given the Jesus-given authorization to do. And when that doesn't happen, there's certain things that don't take place in your life. You remember the scripture, Jeremiah 29 and 11? He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Go there, Jeremiah 29, 11. Let's read it out loud together, because I know I'm saying a lot of radical things, but, man, it's time to hear. It's time to hear, praise God. I could come here today and And I can, you know, begin to hoop a little bit and get our organ going and loud and get you up and get you happy and I can do all that. But then what's gonna happen when we go off? What's gonna happen when I get benediction, it's over with, and you by yourself and all hell around your house? I'm trying to teach you how to operate this thing. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Another translation says, I know the plans that I have for you. He says none of them involve evil. None of God's plans involve evil. God's plans did not involve corona. It didn't involve heart attacks. It didn't involve stress. None of those things were God's plan. Think of that. None of it. Think of that. I'm sure there's some people that try to go around talking about, well, you know, this is God coming down on you because you wouldn't go to church. No, that's not even God's nature. This is not his plan. So, what's going on? Could it be the biggest accusation on mankind who are born-again believers of Jesus Christ have been given the authority to execute judgment, and they won't do it. They keep going back to God. And God, like, I already gave it to you. Ah, but Lord, did you do it? No, I already gave it to you. I can't go past my word. No, God, you do it. You do it. In the name of Jesus, you do it. No, you do it. You're the one supposed to do it. Now, I can't go against my word. I've given man the dominion and authority over all the earth. If he don't do it, it ain't going to get done. He's got to do it. Somebody said, Creflo done lost his mind. You better believe it, man. I got the mind of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I wake up in the joy of the Lord. And in the midst of all of this, I just give him the praise because I execute my authority. And what I declare is so. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now go to Deuteronomy 30, 19. Now, Deuteronomy 30, 19. You got a choice to make. You're going to decide what you're going to do. You're going to sit there and just get beat up. Go to bed in fear, live all day, wake up in fear, walk through all day in fear, just fear, just scared of everything. Got so much fear and stress, you got headache all day long, and well, I tell you, that's just an insensitive thing to say. No, that's the truth. You just upset because the responsibility is finally being put on where it belongs, you. When you gonna lose your authority? When you gonna lose your authority? Now, remember, Jesus immediately caught Peter when he began to sink. Sinking ain't the problem because Jesus can immediately intervene in your situation. But you're just going to stand there and bleed, stand there and feel sorry for yourself. Stand there and sing a bunch of old songs, "Pass me not, old gentle Savior." He can't pass you. Why? Because he's given his word that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the earth. Quit doing that. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Execute that authority. Now look what he says in this verse, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Whew. There's a record of it. That I have set before you life and death. I have set before you blessings and a cursing. Therefore, you choose. Therefore, choose life. Now, you know what he just said there? He says, I place before you life, death, blessing, and a cursing. And then he says, if you're too dumb to know what to choose, let me give you a hint. Choose life, that both you and your seed may live. The choices. A decision is an open door into reality. The choice. When are you going to make a choice? I choose blessings. I choose life, and then I execute my authority for blessings in life. Or you can just forget about everything I'm saying and just, yeah, whatever, and click me off and go somewhere else and say, I don't believe none of that. Well, you choose death. You choose a curse. But believe me, when this is over with, this ain't going to be about what the devil did and what God didn't do. This is going to be about what you chose, what you didn't choose, whether you chose to execute or whether you chose not to execute. That's a heavy statement. Man, if you live by it, things will be well with you. So, making the wrong choice will stop the power of God from operating in your life. Making the wrong choice stops the power of God from operating in your life. No demands, no declarations, no operating your authority, all equals limiting God. No demands, no declaration, no operating your God-given authority, all equals, all comes down to limiting God. And I'm not going to limit God. I'm not going to limit God. Now, let me tell you, let me add another one. Comparing yourself amongst yourself will cause you to limit God. Comparing yourself amongst yourself causes you to limit God. Well, that church over there ain't talking and saying what you're saying. I'm not. Well, I'm not comparing myself amongst that other church. I'm looking at what the Word says, and hopefully they're not comparing themselves with me. The Bible says it's not wise to do that. Why? Because you limit God. What happens, you get to comparing yourself amongst yourself, then all of a sudden you start belittling what God told you to do and what you have and what He's blessed you to do. Nah, I ain't doing that. I'm going to walk in my authority. I'm going to make declarations. I'm going to make demands, praise God. And I don't care what somebody looks at me and thinks. I'm going to walk in my authority, praise God. Amen. I'm going to walk in my authority in the name of Jesus. I'll keep saying it over and over again. Coronavirus, I call you down. I command you to stop in your spread. I command you to stop in Jesus' name and your infections in Jesus' name. I call healing forth right now. I loose the power of healing right now in the name of Jesus. I loose wisdom on our leaders in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, I've been authorized to do that. And I fully expect for what to have what I say. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You fully expect to have what you say. Or you can sit around like some old weak Christian, begging God, oh, Jesus, oh, sure. You can do that all day. Or you can stand up boldly in God's Word, get in it, find out what He said, and enforce it.
Fear is not from God. The world offers plenty of opportunities to live in fear, but Christians must learn to completely cast out the emotion of fear. Today's offer, Victory Over Fear, is available for a love gift of $25 or more. This 5-message series will provide you with the tools to help you respond in faith to what Jesus has already done.
Fear can't even touch you. Every time you think of it or hear a report, it's just the Holy Ghost will rise up on the inside of you and you will remind yourself of who I am. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I said it and it is so. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by the reports. I'm moved by the Word of God. I'm moved by the Spirit of God. I'm moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm moved by the power of God.
As an added bonus, we have combined today's offer with Creflo Dollar's life-changing book, Overcoming Fear. This combo is available to you for a love gift of $35 or more. Order this series to activate your faith and cast out fear today. 5 Teachers of Grace. 5 days of fellowship and worship. A lifetime of victory. Grace Life 2020 featuring Creflo Dollar, Taffy Dollar, Michael Smith, Gregory Dickow, and Andrew Womack.
It's eye open, it's heart open, it's just life changing experience.
Come see what God's got to tell you.
Grace message is just the message for today. They are rightly dividing the word of truth, and they care about the hearts and the souls of all people.
Don't miss it. We've been to every one of them. Don't miss it.
Join us as we bring you Grace Life 2020, July 6th through the 10th. This will be another amazing event, and seats will go fast. To register now, text Grace Life to 51555 or visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org. We will see you soon.
Jesus instructed us to take this gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. With the seeds you sow into Creflo Dollar Ministries, we extend this good news of grace to people on every single continent. They are empowered to see real change in their lives. That's exactly what you do when you send in your financial donations to support our outreach endeavors. You empower change in people's lives. And for that, we say thank you and God bless you. I'll see you next time here on Changing Your World.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CrefloDollarMinistries.org. God bless you. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.